House Finance to order. Today is Tuesday, March 8th. Time is 2:13. Members present are Representative Newman, Costello, Edgman, Representative Dugan, Co-Chair Stoltz, Vice Chair Fairclough, Representative Guerra, Wilson, Representative Guttenberg, Representative Jewell, Chairman Thomas. We're here today to take up amendments on HB 108. And at this time, Pete, will you please come up? And we have the packet in front of you, and what we're going to do is most people have been reading them to see if there's any members from the committee that have any comments or questions of Pete or Joan.
I mean, was it and reject it?
Yeah, we need to make it. But, yeah, let's make, know the amendments. Move amendment number one.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move amendment number one.
Okay, then. Thank you.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, my name is Peter Eckler, staff to yourself, Co-Chair Thomas. Okay, sorry, Mr. Chairman. We worked through the night and the morning with Ledge Finance to try to make this amendment technically correct and otherwise correct, and but we do have one amendment that needs to be made. It's on page 14 of 17, item number 34.
And Mr. Chairman?
Co-Chair,
I'd like to offer a conceptual amendment to the amendment, and that's on item number 34. There was a clerical error, and it's the amount should have been $120,000 unrestricted general funds. So the amendment would be to change from 100 to 120,000.
Any opposition? Seeing none, amendment carries.
Yeah.
Any questions in regards to amendment number one? Objection still? Yes. Briefities. To the bill was made and the objection is still maintained for discussion of the bill. Other amendments. Discussion. Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, are we going to adopt one at a time or go over, have your staff go over the amendments that are before us?
We thought we would. This was amendment number one is the whole packet. If you have any questions, we thought we could ask which one you want to go through or if there's a specific one. Representative Fairclough.
I remove my objection.
Any other objections? Representative Giff?
Chair, would you rather have minor substantive discussion now or tonight?
You can do either one. It's, you know, if you want to discuss the amendment. I think we're better off if you bring the bill back and make final comments on the bill.
Tonight?
Yeah. Let's do that. I mean, we'll have the whole bill in front of us. We can make our comments then. Agreed? Thank you. Okay, the objection to number one has been withdrawn, so seeing other objections, amendment number one is carried.
As amended.
As amended. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Sure.
$20,000 correction.
Yes. Representative Garrett.
I do have one question. The only of these that I don't understand is number three. Part three of amendment number one on page two. Does this add new aerospace positions or does it just move them? It looks like it adds them, but I can't tell.
Joan? Yeah.
One
It's the same number of positions as we have now. Thank you.
Amendment number two is in front of us. Representative Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. amendment number two.
Move.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it
move?
Move.
Okay. You can move it.
Mr. Chair, I move amendment number two.
Check.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment number two amends the committee substitute in terms of the tourism marketing for the Qualified Trade Association. It keeps a $2.7 million match in the statute 4433-125A, which is the portion of the law that's subject to the 50-50 match. As the law states, it returns to that match requirement this fiscal year, July 1st. And it also it adds $6.3 million under Alaska statute 4433-125D. And that particular statute says that additional funding appropriated for tourism marketing in the state is not subject to the match requirement. There is an oversight that's provided by the Commissioner of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, and that the commissioner may impose a match requirement to that amount. So it's 2.7 under A, which is subject to the match, and then 6.3 under D, which is not subject to the match. 3 years ago, as you know, the legislature changed the match requirement from 50-50 to 70-30, with the industry contributing 30%. And the industry had 3 years to come up with a stable funding source, which at this point they have not done that. So now we're looking at returning to the law, which is a 50-50 match. This return to the law would require the industry to triple their match requirement. Last year, they were able to raise $2.7 million, and they have told us in testimony that that's their ability to match. And so we are effectively funding their marketing at $5.4 million without this amendment. The amendment keeps in place the status quo for the operating budget, and the governor has included additional in the capital budget, which would bring them to $18 million, which is what they had last year. This is at a time when the industry is, visitors are down 6% already this year. And in terms of this industry, it's not like other industries in the state that actually have exclusive rights to a product. And my question is, who owns Mount McKinley? The marketing dollars that we spend on the Qualified Trade Association increases the travel to Alaska, and once here, the small businesses do additional marketing, which is an in-kind contribution that's not taken into account for the match requirement, to bring those tourism dollars directly to their front doors. In the public testimony, 202 people testified, and almost 25% were from the tourism industry from all over the state. We heard from people in Juneau, Nome, Anchorage, Palmer, Fairbanks, Alaska, Sitka, Seward, Valdez, Chitna, Kokona, Glen Allen, Homer, Ketchikan, Kodiak, and others. What are we going to tell these people when we ask why we aren't supporting them? This is an industry that brings in $138 million in contributions to the state's budget. They bring in $46.4 million in commercial passenger vehicle tax. They bring in $6.3 million in the passenger gambling tax. The Ocean Ranger program brings in $4 million. The commercial passenger vehicle environmental compliance program brings in $1 million. The non-resident fishing trapping licenses and tags brings in $17.1 million. The Alaska Marine Highway revenues bring in $17.1 million. The Alaska Railroad brings in $19.4 million. The vehicle rental tax brings in $5.6 million. The corporate income tax brings in $21.4 million to the state budget. For the local contribution, this industry brings $69.8 million in municipal revenues, $23.5 million in bed tax revenues. In South Central, that's $15.6 million. In the interior, that's $5.6 million. In Southeast, $1.7 million. The dockage and moorage revenues that this industry brings to the municipalities is $17.4 million. Recently, a voter initiative levied $70 million in additional taxes on the industry. After that, the cruise industry no longer contributed to the state's marketing effort. To more than triple the industry's contribution, it would fall on the checkbooks of small businesses across our entire state. For every $10.78 that we invest in the industry, we get $378 back into our economy. In 2008, for every $1 the state invested, the state coffers increased by $15.42. In addition, that same dollar brought $7.75 to the various municipalities around the state. In tax revenues alone, $23.18 for every dollar. And all we are doing for this industry is contributing to their marketing campaign. That is the state's investment in this industry. With returns like this, why are we hesitant to invest? Is it because ATIA didn't come to the table with a plan? This is the third largest industry in Alaska. It employs 36,200 people. Did the industry promise they would come to us with a plan? Yes, they did. Did they? No, they did not. Now the ball is in our court. The choice we have is whether to penalize the small business owners, the John McConaughey's of the state, who are members of this organization, or to fund at last year's level while we hammer out a long-term solution in House Bill 160. But to more than triple the contribution on the third largest industry in our state that contributes every year more than $208.6 million seems to me to be an imprudent decision. That's why I'm offering this amendment, and I would appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Representative Garrett.
I just have a question to the sponsor of the amendment. And first, as a typo, it's not a big deal, but there is no, on line 9, there is no statute 43.33.125. That's, I think, supposed to be 44.33. So now I'm just catching up. And so now operating from recollection and trying to read on the fly, but my recollection was that we had adopted a 50-50 match and that was the last version of the statute that we had adopted. Is that incorrect?
That, through the chair, Mr. or Representative Garrett, that's correct.
That is correct. Mr. Chair, I guess my preference is that we debate changing the statute, but not do an appropriation that goes outside of the statute that we adopted, though I have to admit I'm still reading through it to grab the language from the statute.
Representative Costello.
Through the chair, Representative Garrett, there are two statutes that were considering in your question. One is the reverting back to the 50-50 match. However, 4433-125D existed in statute, and this allows for additional funding, tourism marketing funding, that is not, it does not fall under the match requirements. So in law already, we had the ability to address tourism marketing that was not subject to the percentage either in the past or in the future.
Okay. Any other comment? Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a co-sponsor of the amendment, the prime co-sponsor amendment has made most of the setting points. This is before us. It is allowed under statute. There are two sections of that statute. I do concur that the industry has had 3 years. We've also had a worldwide recession in that intervening time period. We've also had a cruise ship tax, which had a great deal of uncertainty. That's kind of like the, I guess, compared to the other industries, maybe that was their botulism scare that one of our industries went through in the early 80s that we responded to. Maybe a clumsy metaphor because we don't like to bring up botulism. We're talking about canned salmon because then people will think bad things about it. But that's the parallel I can think of. This is probably the singular most important thing we can do for tourism. I don't know when a bill will come before us. It's not here now, but I hope it will. I know in this bicameral process, there's different opinions, just as divergent as within ourselves here. And if we don't have this in the budget, much of the debate ends. But for me, this is absent some type of allocation change on fisheries, which is one of the big tourism sections of my district and the adjoining region. This is the most important thing I can do. This is about supporting the lower and upper Susitna and the lower and upper Matanuska valleys with our fisheries. And this is where I may be on losing ground, but I'm on firm ground with my support of my region. And this is, for me, this is one of the larger industries in my district and adjoining district is sport fisheries, lodgeries, and a lot of the day fisheries. I think other members of this committee refer to them as our mom and pops. And this is me taking a stand not to leave them behind. I'm hopeful if this amendment doesn't prevail, that this isn't the end of the discussion. This is where I have an ability to make a stand to promote an industry that has a large impact on my district and my region. If you turn on Stoltz Drive, where I live, you're going to find five people that are directly affected with the tourism industry, and there might be more than ancillary connections, and that's in just a very small neighborhood. This is a hometown neighborhood issue for me. It's a Matsu regional issue for me. It's a statewide issue. This is one of the areas of growth in our economy. It has had a lot of challenges. And, I have not an unending patience with the leadership of the trade association, but I'm not ready to yank the rug and go from where we're at right now of an $18 million commitment down to potentially a $5 million commitment. And the message and the shockwaves and jolts that sends to one of our industries, which has had a tremendous amount of challenges, and it employs so many Alaskans. So I'm hoping that some type of magical occurrence, our amendment will pass. But absent that, I'm looking forward to finding a way to make sure that we have the tourism industry at the table in a meaningful way and addressing these solutions to promoting it and addressing the problems at the same time. And that's the next step I hope we get to do absent this amendment passing.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, my vote on this won't reflect what I think of the tourism development because, you know, I think tourism does bring a lot to this state. But I guess my issue right now with this is I don't want the message being sent that we give you 3 years to do something and you do nothing and we still reward you for doing nothing. That just sits with me so wrong, you know, and to make a statement that, you know, this decision is whether or not we support tourism really hits me bad because, you know, that's not the issue. The issue is what was said 3 years ago and what were promises and agreements that were made. And the agreements that were made that give us 3 years to get on our feet, come back with a cruise ship, do something to help them, which we did last year, did a big debate on that. And so the question to me is not whether we're doing right or wrong here. You know, it's back to what is the industry doing? How much is the cruise ship going to give now that they got this money back because we lowered the head tax? We haven't even seen what that does yet. So to me, it's not, you know, what are we doing and to hold us accountable, but it's holding the industry accountable. I believe in the mom and pop shops all over, but I'm sitting up in a district right now that's paying almost $4 a gallon for heating fuel. And we've got businesses there that are hurting as well. And when does that start and when does it stop? And to me, I can't condone giving something when nothing was done. There's a House bill, House Bill 160, and my belief has to be to where let's let this bill go through. Let's allow both sides to come and have testimony, which now they don't have that anticipation because it's going through this process. And so that's why I'm here, is make sure that, the process is going the way that I think, you know, our people really expect it to do. So though, you know, I am not supporting this amendment, it's not because I don't support tourism. It's just because I believe this is just the wrong way to do it. Thank you.
Other comments? Representative Newman?
Mr. Chair. Tourism is extremely important to my part of the world, the people that I represent. There is virtually no industry there besides the tourist industry. We have maybe two companies that I can think of that employ more than 30 people. 90% of my district is off the road system. So they are the mom-and-pop organizations, the fishing guides, tourism guides, flight trips to Denali. Those are the people that I represent. But we find ourselves in a situation where we've asked the industry to bring back a solution we didn't have. We're asked by those same people to have accountability in the public process. Find yourself in a difficult position sometimes here in the legislature, and that's fine. I'm willing to do what I need to do, but I feel the process is right and correct. We have a law that talks about a 50-50 split and a match there. We have mechanisms that we have in place now to fix this. And we will take that situation into our own hands through that law, through House Bill 160 by the Economic Development Committee that does fix this. This is a big issue for me. And it it's not easy for me to not support this. I'm not going to support this amendment. Not that I don't support our tourism industry. I've chaired the EDT committee. I've seen the tourism committees come in here, the folks pack the room. I've done all I can to support that industry in the past. Changes in this mechanism, carried their legislation. But there's a process that we follow here in the legislature, and I'm trying to do my best to follow that process and I'll fight for the accountability that we need to do. So finding yourself in that situation, you try and measure out what's best for the state of Alaska. I've done that, and it's a difficult situation for me. I can't support the amendment because of the process that we're in. But I think there's a way out of this. We've got a capital budget. We've got a continuing process through this. We've got a mechanism coming forward that I feel will carry this. And I'll do all I can to support that. And with that, it's difficult for me to vote no on this amendment. I certainly support the cause. I certainly support the people in my district who make a living off of this. And I will continue to support them as much as I can, as I have in the past. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We'll give you a wrap up. Any other comments, members? I just want to make a comment that I'm not anti-tourist, very pro-industry. We're following the law, and that's all we're trying to do. And with that, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My only comment is in relation to the law and the statute that deals with tourism funding, and we're talking about two sections, Section A and Section D. And A is where we find the match that will revert back to 50-50, and just as much a part of the law is Section D that allows for additional tourism funding not subject to a match. So I just wanted to clarify that, because I think a lot of the discussion goes back to what is the industry's contribution as a whole, and we've asked them to return to 50-50. So I just wanted to clarify that within the current law as it exists today, Section D does allow for additional tourism funding. Thank you.
Thank you. Objections still maintained. Have a roll call.
Representative Costello?
Yes.
No.
Representative Edmund?
No.
Representative Fairclough?
Yes.
Representative Guerra?
No.
Representative Gutenberg?
No.
Representative Jewell?
No.
Representative Newman?
No.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Stoltz?
Yes.
Representative Thomas?
No. We do have amendment number 3, so we'll take a brief at ease as we get that. It was 8-3. No, 8-3. Yes, let's take a brief at ease.
I just wanted to hear you.
back in order here. We have amendment number three by Thomas. I move number three, amendment number three. No objection. Amendment number three moves. What we're going to do is we're going to recess until 6 o'clock. My staff is worried I'd forget. We'll come back with the final bill to move it out tonight so we can have it out and moving tomorrow. So it is we will be in recess till 6.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I move to give the Legislative Finance Division and Legislative Legal Services the authority to incorporate amendments made today and make any appropriate conforming or technical changes to HB 108 and HB 109.
Seeing no objections, so moved. With that, we're in recess till 6.
6-y.
Close to 6 as you can get. We have the CS in front of us. Vice Chairman, do you move to adopt the CS?
Mr. Mr. Chairman, I move before the committee the CS for House Bill 108 Finance 27-GH1737/X dated 3811 Bailey.
Thank you. Pete, do you want to explain anything, or David, or any questions for the committee? None?
I'll just make it quick, Mr. Chair.
Make it quick.
For Pete. Thanks, Pete. Since amendment number one, which had all the substantive amendments, or most of the substantive amendments in it, amendment number one explained what each of the amendments were, and then when it goes into the budget, we lose the explanations, but just we just want a confirmation that all of those amendments are incorporated into the CS.
Excuse me. For the record, Mr. Chairman, Peter Eklund, staff, to Representative Thomas. Through the chair, Representative Guerra, yes, confirm with Ledge Finance, double-checked, compare documents that all the amendments that were approved are included in the CS.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Comments? Motion to...
That was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, yeah. I want to thank everybody for being patient and the committee chairman for doing a great job for my first year anyway, and I think we all paid a little price here getting this thing done, and you guys did a great job, and your staff. It's not easy, especially for the new people to walk in here, did a better job than I thought we'd do. I really appreciate it. Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to congratulate whoever deserves congratulation here. You know, there's a lot of work that gets done. You're never quite sure who did it or when it got done or anything. Pete, I suppose you're responsible for a lot of this. So thanks very much. And whoever else, you know, should share in that, you know, if they're within the sound of my voice, thank you. Doing something like this is not easy. I sort of had a little piece of this back way back when the budget was much smaller, and can tell you it didn't seem that easy, much easier to me at that time, but compared to this, it was a piece of cake. The other thing I wanted to say is that there were a couple of appropriations here that I just wanted to call people's attention to, not because I think there's anything wrong with them or that at all they're all problematic, but when we were, and this is working off of the last version of this, the operating budget amendments, there were a couple of appropriations in there. There was, if anybody cares to look at them later, it was on the old sheet, it was number 32, which was about $500,000, and number 37, which was nearly $500,000, that are basically us plugging holes created by the federal budget changes with the general fund. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk here about what we're going to do if it turns out to be the case that the federal government is going to be sending us less and less money. And the only point I wanted to make is that's not something to worry about in the future. It's happening right now, and it's probably going to happen more. There's going to be more of it as time goes on. I don't have any better idea about what to do about this than anybody else. Maybe there's somebody who's got a silver bullet, in which case I'll be happy to watch as they fire it. But I just wanted to point out that we're going to be seeing this, I'm not exactly sure how to make a policy to deal with it or whether to do it on a case-by-case basis or what. What I do know is the federal government can have passed more money than we can afford to pay, so that at some point, you know, maybe in a lot of points as we go along, we're going to have to be telling people no, the feds gave you that. We can't afford to do it. And as I said, we've got a little taste of that in this budget, and I expect we'll be seeing more. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other? Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank the chair and the members of the committee. I think the budget was a collaborative process, and I appreciate that. I think folks were given a difficult task when it started out at what I think was a real $150 million deficit that the governor had proposed in his budget, and that made it hard from the get-go. There, I think, are more good things in the budget than things that are I could fairly criticize, and I'm going to end up supporting the budget because of that. I appreciate some of the work that folks did to help us get some early education money back into the budget, $300,000 for Head Start back in the budget. There was a $2 million unallocated cut to the Department of Education that folks made clear in language was not going to come out of early learning. I thought that was important. We left in the additions to early learning that we adopted last year for parents as teachers and for Best Beginnings, at least the part of Best Beginnings that wasn't one time. So the one-time Best Beginnings funding didn't show up in the budget. As folks would probably guess, I'm disappointed that the pre-K pilot program didn't make it through the budget process, but that's just the way the votes go. So I appreciate that some of the university items that we had pushed for have made it into the budget, the University Honors Program, the Math Bridge Program to get kids ready for college who aren't math ready for college, some of the engineering training money, and there were two categories of substance abuse funding that came into the budget that I think are very important, and I appreciate the committee's support on those. And that was money to restore some therapeutic courts funding that I appreciate the chair's cooperation on, and money to help keep families together in the OCS system before they get split apart. If you split them apart first and then just pay for foster care at $30 a day and then put parents on a waiting list for a year, you end up spending a lot more money in the long run tearing families apart. So I think the budget, all in all, is a positive one, and I appreciate the work that folks put into it.
Thank you. Other comments? Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This has certainly been a collaborative process, and we've all had a piece in it. I know there'll be distancing at later points this year and next, but it was a collaborative process, and it's reflects a reduction in the budget submitted to us, but it still ignores the big problem we have in our next class project. And we're going to look at is issues involving keeping the pipeline full. This doesn't reflect the 7% decline up to that we're going to be dealing with. And we've embedded some more entitlements in here, and we've filled in some federal gaps, and we all did it knowingly and willingly. But our next class project we're going to have here next week is dealing with another bill in which we're going to be addressing possible remedies on how we can spur our economy to make sure that we have a sustainable source of income, not just this year, next year, but a decade and two decades down the line. So this is just one of our many responsibilities. This is one of our constitutional responsibilities. It's appropriate we took this first, and our next project around this horseshoe is House Bill 110.
Thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It wasn't my intent to speak tonight, but I would want to point out something on page 30 with some of the intent language done by one of our co-chairs who chairs the public safety. And it's the intent of the legislature that significant resources be deployed for enforcement efforts for the highway safety corridors located on the Parks Highway between milepost 44.5 and milepost 53 and the Connecticut Bay Road between milepost 0.6 and milepost 17.2. We already had three deaths out there and several severe accidents that would put people in the hospital for months. And addressing our highway safety corridors in my district is a big effort for me, and I truly appreciate the intent language that went forward on that, and the co-chair for his work on that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other comment? Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I spent 4 years in this room as staff in the late 90s. And the budget was, well, it was very different when oil was 12 bucks a barrel, I think. I worked with Pete, who did a great job then, and thank you for this job. The budgeting process was seemed to be fairly simple then, fairly straightforward. Then it got into what I call some dark years, where funding was shifted back and forth from years, and it was a lot harder to read the budget. And I think we've returned to a budgeting process that is a lot more transparent. And I know Mr. Teal and Legislative Finance and your staff has worked on that over the years. I think it's a it serves the public well to have a lot more transparent process and a budget that is still very difficult for the public to read, but is actually easier than it has been in the past.
Thank you. Any other comments? Vice Chair?
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for House Bill 108, Finance 27-GH1737/X from committee with individual recommendations.
Seeing no objections, HB 108 as amended passes. Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move before the committee CS for House Bill number 109, Finance 27-GH1738/I3811 Bailey.
Pete, you want to just make comment on what? Any comments? Questions? Done. Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move from committee the CS for House Bill number 109, Finance 27-GH1738/I-Bailey-3811 from committee with individual recommendations.
Hearing no objections, HB 109 as amended passes from committee.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to thank Lisa the Finance Division. They have worked very hard and closely with us to prepare this budget, and also Joan Brown worked very hard on this, and just appreciate their efforts.
Thank you. Appreciate all the work. It was quite an education, I can tell you that. I had more numbers running in my head the first month of this year than I ever had before. The good news is we got this out of here, and even better news is we had expected to spend a few days on this budget, so we have no committee work this week. Finance will not be meeting until we come up with a calendar for next week. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are deleted from your calendar for finance. So any closing comments, Clochard?
But unless anybody wants to have a big round robin hearing on House Bill 80.
Okay, I appreciate everybody's help, and good night, and thanks for everything. We're adjourned.